It's time to relax with the Offspring.
This is the most excited I've been all day.
Oh, yeah.
I'm very, very excited to be here.
For, all week for me.
All week.
All week for
me. You sure that's not just the Diet Dr. Pepper talking?
Can we talk about that?
Actually, for a couple of reasons. I'll tell you the first reason. The first reason is that this is officially podcast number 10.
We did it, baby.
We made it to 10.
They said it wouldn't last.
All right.
They said it wouldn't last.
Look at me now. Look at me now.
Dexter always said we're going to go to 10. And then we'll see what happens.
So
right? No pressure.
We'll consider if we want to keep doing them.
Like, I love Curb Your Enthusiasm, and they just do a season for a while, and then they just stop for a while, right? And I'm like, this is great.
That's why it's good.
Yeah. Why does this have to? I don't want this to be a job. I want it to be because it's fun to bring our friends on and talk and stuff. Yeah. So let's just do 10, and we're going to go away for a little while. And we're going to, I'm making a big announcement here. We're going to go away for a little while, and we're going to see how we feel. And like,
let the audience miss you.
Yes.
I always leave them wanting more.
Well, it's true. I would like to. I'm curious to see if we get feedback. Are people into this enough for us to continue it? It's fun for us, right?
And
obviously, we're not.
That's what Malcolm Gladwell does too.
No ads on this podcast. We're not selling advertising. We're not.
No, it's
we're
not just, about the ad. It's about the Dr.
for
Pepper,
the kids,
which is endorsed for free because it's delicious.
So. This is it. Enjoy this podcast. This is it for a while. Number 10.
Yes.
We did 10. I'm very happy they've been.
This may come out before one of the other ones we've done, but in any case, once we get 10 out there,
they've been
you'll
very
know.
Well received. Lots of views, lots of likes. It's all about the likes now.
Oh,
you know?
Likes. That's like heroin. Yeah.
This is all about TikTok. TikTok right here.
So, 10. Congratulations to us.
Oh, my
way
God.
To go. Way to go, Noodles. Yes.
You know what?
Way to go, Blackfall.
And you
thank
know what?
You. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome, audience.
Yes.
I mean, they really, you guys are so welcome.
Yeah. And this is the other reason why I'm excited today. The most excited I've been all day is because we have our good friend Warren Fitzgerald here, who is the.
He's definitely the brightest color dressed.
Yes.
I do laundry.
He's a genius in the most unlikely way. You're not even sure if you're on the same page as him, but he really is.
I'm
very
definitely.
It's that fine line, stupid
behind,
genius.
Always.
Yeah, the smartest genius. Idiot you know. Yeah.
Yeah, you're the smartest idiot we know. No. Warren is, of course, the guitar player in the Vandals, amongst other projects that we are going to get into today. But we just want to have you here because you're so entertaining. You're just so much fun to be around.
Oh,
and
God.
I saw you at a party a few weeks ago, and we talked for a few minutes, and I'm like, oh, my God, why have we not had Warren on the show? Warren is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it's great to be here. No, thank you for having me, and thank you for the kind words. That's right. I love that you guys are doing this. I went back and experienced some of the. What's the official title for the monikers or is it just like it's Offspring?
I think we call it Time to
time
Relax.
To Relax with the Offspring.
Makes sense, right?
Fucking genius, right?
No,
you should have heard.
No, that just swept through my soul. I'm a lot more like.
What was
no,
Joe's?
Cool,
Joe had an idea for the title. What was it? It was.
I don't remember.
Splooging.
This was the podcast Awkward Silence.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, what's so great about Warren, I'm going to tell the story. I've told it before. But it's just a great example of your genius and wackiness, right? Like, we're just talking out of the blue, and I don't know what got you on the subject, but you started talking about the pyramids. And you're like,
how funny. I'm totally thinking of this story, too.
Let's just talk about the pyramids. He goes, how'd they get made? He goes, could have been aliens, could have been thousands of slaves. Either way, pretty cool.
That's a great story. Either way.
Here's like my mental health approach towards things is like, you know, it's easy to get depressed because the world, I mean, look around, I mean, come on. But then like, basically I think that, that perfect summary of like, you don't even have to go deeper than that to kind of go like, what's up with oxygen? That's wild. Like, I mean, like, you know, it doesn't matter. But like this idea of
oxygen,
like, that like this kind of, and I haven't mapped it out yet. I'm not like a Ray Kurzweil. I don't have my notebook with me, which I want in the car. But this idea that
of course you do
is curiosity. Is like is the oxygen for like for getting out of bed, for living, for like not being depressed. Be like, well, that's interesting. Oh, well, that hey. Why do they call it plaid or whatever? It doesn't matter. It can be anything.
Right.
And then that's the kind of like, I think that is the oxygen for just being alive, for like getting to not being like, oh, cool. Here right, we are. Right. Like existential yeah. dread or whatever.
All your questions actually are stoner questions as well.
But it actually plays into getting high.
You know? Yeah.
From a different viewpoint, though.
Yeah.
And you're right.
But deep stoner questions. I mean, come on. Like, yeah.
The world is a wonderful place.
Stoner questions with tweaker energy.
Oh, exactly. Tweaker, that's a disposition. It's just kind of like I came out like out my mommy like that.
That's even better when it's natural.
It's like baby tweaker, yeah. It's like totally normal.
So did you write Girlfriend's Dead?
Yes, I did.
You wrote that song. That's another great example of wackiness. That the song, if you're not familiar with the song, is one of their greatest songs. But the idea is the guy in the song doesn't want to have to admit that he got dumped by his girlfriend. So he says, I'm just going to tell them all that she's dead, right? Which is hilarious. So the chorus, like, my girlfriend's dead. And once again, it's that
well, sometimes you want that awkward silence of just like if it's somebody you don't want to talk about. You right. know what I mean? It's a strategy to find your way there of like of a taboo subject. It's like, well, we were talking about this at the party. I remember like when you're in this kind of small talk kind of and it's you know, maybe someone you kind of know but not that well. And you're like, hi, how are you? It's like the elevator kind of
closet,
you know, like socializing. And it's like, and my solution for that is like when it gets unbearable, like I'm just like, I have diarrhea, so I would love the same talk, but, you know, I have a pressing issue.
It's
so,
a good way to get just scoot away.
The small talk ender right there.
Never
fails.
No one's like, no, hold on.
Wait, I have to tell you something. Yeah.
We were once talking about having difficult times on stage or whatever's not going well, and I remember you said, I love awkward silences.
Oh, God. Yeah,
that's like the worst thing that can happen in the world, but not to you.
Oh, no. Well, it's like, it's in the same way that like say for example, like you go to like, you know, the NAMM show, for example, comes to mind, like where, and every shredder's there and it's like someone's so good at their instrument or whatever it is, whatever they do. Like you see, like at some point it's not impressive. In a weird way, it's kind of like everyone's so good. But or drum solo. Like drum solos are like, you know, it's got to be really interesting for it to be, you know, worth to get through. But like that idea, like say, but if someone falls down the fucking stairs and lands on their feet, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like that's something like you go like.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's that whole kind of drama. And so I think that's that awkward silence of like, that vacuum of possibility of like, this could go any direction. Like this could be a bottle in my face, or this could be like, I don't know, maybe I'm gonna start a new religion here. I don't know.
Could go either way.
I always love that about you. When you're playing with the Vandals, you'll go out and sing a song. I mean, you can shred on guitar, but you can also just put your arms through your shorts, the legs of your shorts.
Climb the scaffolding.
Do that. Yeah.
No, it's the same. And I guess that's, what is that like? That it's fascinating.
Yeah.
To be a person is so goddamn weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't. Right. I would say, like, I try. This was a thought experiment I was having. I'm like, going, what's weirder than being a person? You can't come up with anything because you have to start. I mean, you have to start from nothing and go like, here you are sitting here right now on this fucking rock floating in the
middle.
That's bonkers.
Right. You can create something sci-fi, like, but they're all based, all the aliens are based on people.
Yeah, you're going to maybe become a variation of a thing, but like out of thin air come up with this? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, no way.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, I also like what you're saying when instead of shredding, he does something because everybody's watching you because they don't know what's going to happen.
Audiences are so fucking dumb. I mean like a crowd. When you get a group of people, we were talking about that at the party the other night. This collective entity of this throng or whatever, like, you know, you get this group of people, it becomes this bigger, dumber. It's the Wikipedia word? Collective effervescence. This idea that kind of everyone kind of gets in this group think kind of thing, and like if you could go to a protest in a city against that city and go up and say, if would say Cleveland, for example, you go up there, you go, hey, you know, Cleveland fucking sucks, and everyone's going, wait a second, this is Cleveland, like they like, you know, you can't it's like it's this weird, like it's like this drunk impulsive id that just kind of just like, and
conversely, that's why you go out and say Cleveland fucking rules, because then they all
low-hanging fruit to have it, like, and it's
sure.
like when you watch it, when you and that's why I find it interesting, well, especially because I've been like, I started playing like in punk, you know, like when I was like 15 or whatever, it's been long enough to where I'm like, well, where else can you take this besides like, because like you can have the perfect night of like where, oh well, I had a meeting on the palm of my hands, and it's like, you know, here's just a reality check, like what I like to think about concerts. The loudest roar of the crowd every night is when the lights go down.
At the beginning?
If you had a volume meter, it'd be like, that's the loudest moment. You've hit your peak.
At the very beginning.
It's all downhill from there. Yeah. You think the guy flipping the switch is like, oh, they fucking love me. You know? No. It's like, it's just this kind of like, that energy's already there, and you're kind of there to like, it's yours to fuck up.
Right.
And so why not take, like, see where you can take it? If you can lose it and get it back, that's a game, that's like peekaboo.
Right,
you know, you're doing something.
The collective effervescence.
Yeah, collective effervescence. Yeah. That's a good podcast title. Yeah.
I love it. The best it's going to get is when the lights go down. All you can do is try to maintain.
Yeah, and that guy's all.
By the way, collective.
Did an awesome job on House Lights.
I just want to get in the weeds on the word effervescence.
Oh, yeah.
This came up on the plane the other night when we were going to Vegas. As far as I know, effervescence means like bubbly, like the kind of bubbly that you would have in like a soda.
It's one of the great many essences that there are out there. There's quintessence, there's pearlescence, uber essence, I guess, you know, whatever you want to put there. But that the essence being, effer. And it's basically the reason why I really latch on, because it's like, say, oh, you have such an effervescent personality.
Right.
And it's such an effervescent drink. That just means bubble. But it's basically, you know, and I think it's kind of that, it's a good metaphor for kind of like someone that sparkles to some degree or whatever, things that sparkle, you know?
Right.
And
right.
And there's like metallic essences. Like basically, if you go through like an art store, like
every kind
of essence that you can imagine. Yeah. You know, so like... And which I love art supply stores. Those are the great. Those are the best. Yeah.
I already don't know what to say anymore.
Well, you can't. let's can circle back. There doesn't have to be a straight line. Art. We're big fans of your art.
Oh, thank you.
Everyone's seen your artwork, and I don't know what sort of essence.
Projects. Perfect essence, I guess. Persevering perversence. Yeah.
Yes. We've got some art up on the screen. Is that you?
Oh yeah. See, this is one of my digital efforts.
This
looks
newer. Yeah.
Effervescence being one of those like kind of just those things that you like just makes me happy. And the other thing is ice cream. Ice cream is like, because it's like.
And the Choco Taco's on there.
It's a moon, and you got the moon too, like the little thing. And the Choco Taco, we got them all. Like basically, so this was a picture that was taken at the Orange County Fairgrounds, which is like a very prestigious venue. I don't know if you guys ever played there before.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And
probably with you guys.
Yeah, you know, probably. and the photographer was he just took this picture, and it was just so fucking flat. I'm all. Oh my God! I kind of look almost badass in that picture. It was like I'm like,
it's good.
How can I ruin it? Guitars are kind of like popsicles are like, I'm on a popsicle diet. Like that's my like. It's kind of like one of my other hobbies is experimenting into lucid sleep, and to approach that lucidity is kind of disrupting your sleep cycle. So like every hour, or so I get up and eat a popsicle. So like as I sleep, and so.
Is that true?
This is like, one. This is
every hour you get up and eat a popsicle.
Not even on purpose. Like it just like right.
just happens.
No, once the pandemic came around, I like really got deep into the lucid dreaming thing, and it's fucking.
Purpose, but isn't lucid dreaming? Aren't you trying to conduct your dreams?
The definition of lucid is because it's like you say like vivid dreaming and lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming just specifically means. You're dreaming and you're aware that you're dreaming.
You're not trying to control it then.
Well, you can. But it is that awareness of say like sometimes a lot of people like some people have maybe only a couple of incidences their whole life and they're like, oh my God, I'm dreaming. Wake up! Like there's that kind of pant. But you kind of sit there and hover in that place, and it gets so weird. It's this kind of paradoxical or like a. Singularity. It's another infinity. Like it's the idea of like, say, as soon as you reference yourself, anything that's self-referential opens up a paradox. You say like, this sentence is false. That sentence is referring to itself. So therefore, this sentence is false. So is it true that it's false? Or like, in the same way, every time you say I, anytime you're referring to yourself, you open up this same kind of paradox because who's saying that? You? Who's me? Am I me? Are you me?
In your dreams, you mean. Yeah. Because in your dream, aren't you a little bit of everybody in your dream? Aren't they all representations of
you? And you're creating it, but it's also being directed from your unconscious in a way. You've got this little Martin Scorsese underneath, or Stanley Kubrick putting together this whole fucking world.
I think I have an Ed Wood.
Okay, perfect. Okay, even better.
Ed Wood.
No, so there's various dream aesthetics, and it's a whole kind of bizarre thing.
A little bit of John Waters.
And it's just and the fact is, like, when you get into that, like, I kind of stumbled into it initially from sleep paralysis.
Here's our next one coming up.
Oh yeah, sorry. But it's the lucid dreaming thing is a whole. That's a whole topic. I recommend it highly to anyone. If there's another pandemic, stay at home and fuck up your sleep schedule until you start to do it.
Popsicles and
wow.
Oh yeah, the popsicles are great. It's just yeah, it's disrupted. This is this was a commission
A commission. Oh, yes. Wow. Someone asked you to draw this.
Yeah, this was for the La Luz de Jesus art gallery in Hollywood, and it was their 25th anniversary. And so they had all the artists that were in. This is like, and these are like some heavy artists, like Robert Williams, and like just like kind of like rad. Like people that know how to paint really good,
yeah, right?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and you,
and maybe, you know, I'm like, okay, so I wanted to like step it up, and most of my, and this was such a bitch to do because it's like when you're painting, like, cause, you know, it's freehand painting. I don't know. I didn't know what the shit did. I know what linseed oil's for.
All right, yeah,
they don't tell
right,
you. Yeah. You're not born knowing that, you know.
No. So you haven't taken any like painting classes.
No, this is the other beauty of, and this is why I love that you guys have a podcast too, and or the YouTube thing is that. All the information in the entire universe ever known is like if you want a tutorial, like any fucking song, however obscure, there's someone go, where's they play on ukulele?
Right.
It's fucking, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You can find anything.
And
yeah.
So I like,
that's how we learned how to podcast. We went on YouTube. And
this is a visual pun that I worked backwards from our old office, the Kung Fu, when we had an office. I saw a place that's called Cross Training. I'm all right. The dolphin shorts and
yes.
He's like, I can't wait to get crucified. I'm gonna dig, I gotta kill this. Where's my kettlebell?
Gotta train for it.
Yeah, no, you don't just. Yeah. You seen his abs too? He's it doesn't happen. Well,
is there a WarrenFitzgerald.com? Where people are gonna be wanting to buy this stuff when they see it?
You know,
WAF art isn't WAF art?
Punk rock paintbrushes.
Oh, punk rock paintbrushes now.
With Emily, we did a whole book, and with 27 other musicians, skateboarder artists, and stuff like that, and it's just an interesting. I love. It's the reason why Dancing with the Stars is such a compelling show is that people that you know from somewhere are doing something that you're not familiar with them doing.
Yeah. Right.
So like, so someone that's a skateboarder or, you know, a musician, then you're like, well, what's that fucking painting look like? You know, or how do they cook an omelet? There's something kind of bad. Like it's just out of that.
It's,
you know,
really cool. Actually, yeah. I want to just give a little shout out to Punk Rock and Paintbrushes and Emily.
Emily is a song.
And,
yeah.
And Sidewalk Project too. They do a lot of good work for homeless people. But Punk Rock and Paintbrushes does, art shows, and a lot of times they'll do it like collaborating with a festival, Warp Tour, things like that.
All sorts of events.
When we were young, they were out at
Flogging Molly Cruise too.
Flogging Molly Cruise. They were out at When We Were Young Festival, and it's a cool thing. It's, you know, Jim from Pennywise has done art. You've done some art.
Tim Armstrong. Like it's more people than you can. Yeah. I mean, there's 27 people. The one person that I really wish would get involved that is and seems surprisingly bashful about it is Fletcher.
Oh, okay.
Because like, you know, Pennywise as a group, like the group dynamic there is just so fascinating. But like Jim, like, you know, they're just always like, they're like brothers or whatever, like the kids family thing, like what's so-and-so doing, blah blah blah, you know, it's like everyone's on each other's shit, which is kind of the drama that it's maybe keeps it cohesive. But I was like, you guys should all do, like when Kiss all did solo records, you guys should all do your own art, and Fletcher, I guarantee you'll probably win this contest. Right. He's like, oh, I don't know, I don't really draw. I'm like, that's the point. Yeah, exactly. You draw a fucking tattoo, why can't you put it on a fucking canvas?
Good body art.
Yeah.
Right. So totally. Is this Punk Rock and Paintbrushes, it's a book, it's an event, what is it, what do you do?
A little bit of both. They did put out the book.
It's a whole entity that Emily put together, and basically we do art shows. She would start off with basically canvases of work done by musicians that were put up for auction for cancer and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then turned it into a whole kind of a thing of what was like everyone in punk band, so many people doodle and this and that, so it was just to where we would start doing art shows like that. And when the pandemic came around, like I was like, We should probably do like a book, like a coffee table book. And we did like, it's a whole.
So Matt Skiba, also Hunter from AFI.
Yeah, exactly.
And sometimes it's it'll be spouses or children of punk.
Yeah.
You know, punk bands as well.
Hunter Freeze.
Yep,
yeah. Hunter Freeze Josh's awesome. Son. And just really interesting. Kind of anyone within that larger, within the peripheral of punk rock, kind of like. And it's funny because I wrote the foreword to the book, which was like probably the most taxing thing I've ever. Like, I'm not formally educated. I'm more of an autodidact or whatever. Right, so when it came down to like writing the foreword to the fucking thing, I'm like, oh boy. I'm like, so.
Well, and it mattered to you. That's probably where it came in the hardest. It wasn't just I can throw stuff that's funny.
That's the tortured artist cliche. Yeah, well, that's why it matters. The torture is that you give a fuck.
You know? Exactly.
If you don't give a fuck, you're like. Yeah. An unbothered artist, and you probably suck. You know,
I've been able to DJ a few of the art shows.
You're very supportive. That's always cool.
I love it. I really do. I don't think I'm a great visual artist at all. I don't think I'm a great musician either. But I love what I do, and I love visual art, so it's cool. And I would curate. I think a really good playlist. I think I was good at that, so it was fun.
See, that's an advocate for the audience. That's the Rick Rubin school of kind of like producing or saying like, well, what is the world kind of, what would they, you know, like, it's kind of being that, and it's funny because it's not a go-between, it's a curator, yeah.
Yeah,
I love it.
Curator, so. That's right.
Which and is lots, like, lots of really great art. Curator, yeah. It's secure to your boredom or whatever.
Steve Caballero's done some
Steve,
stuff.
Christian Caballero, Masoy.
I really want to say Christian Masoy, yep.
I've got a bunch of, his art's at my house still, I'm waiting for him to pick it up. It's just funny because it's a whole, and we did a whole book tour, which for me was the most, like, coming out of the pandemic, it was really interesting for a couple of reasons. Because it's like, a book tour is like, not like a regular tour. Not by, how do you even fucking pack for that? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I'm like, I think I missed a flight trying to figure out how to pack for that. I'm like,
what do you need on a book tour?
Yeah, I'm like, so books or like, it's, and also we, but like, also like, we would do an event, like, say we did, and it was amazing. It was really like, so this is just coming out of the pandemic. So like, and it was mostly East Coast, and it was interesting because you see each city, it was like everyone's kind of just coming out of like, it's like the first non-mask event, and people were like, and everyone's got like Asperger's because they're like, everyone forgot how to chit chat. They're like, and they're kind of like all kind of cabin fevered, and they're just like. So, hi, how are you? And I'm like, this is so great. Everyone's like me right now. Yeah. Oh my God. This is my world. I can help nurture you. I'm like, hey, you know what? It's all right. It doesn't matter what the fucking weather's like. You know, we're here. Isn't that crazy?
I have diarrhea.
Yeah, exactly. diarrhea. Yeah. And so that whole, like, it became, we would do a night of like where people get the book and then, and we would have like two or three of the artists go up and kind of talk about their art. So it was like this little mini TED Talk thing combined into which public speaking, fucking so weird. Oh my God. Yeah. So I like, maybe I'll bring my guitar. Like I became that guy. Like, oh, do Kumbaya at the beach around the campfire. Like, so and, like sang a couple, like, and which was, I'd never really done before either. And that's like, that's a whole nother, like, which is fucking so scary because you're like
playing by yourself.
You can't blame shit on anyone. Yeah, if it sucks, right. It's you. Yeah.
I'll bet it's a good icebreaker.
You're
though,
used
probably,
to blaming shit
it?
On Joe, aren't you?
Well, I'm like, fucking Joe, it's so drunk, religious.
Religious.
Yeah, it's as far as the art thing, yeah, with the book, that was the whole thing of coming out of the pandemic. So we're like, let's do this. And I had a whole bibliotheque in my garage of just friggin' one book, and that was like awesome. So
some of the first times I was around people at coming out of the pandemic was at the like Fat Mike's place when they did
the Christmas one.
They did it outdoors in his tennis court. I walk up
I
and I'm like,
I think I caught COVID that night too.
Oh really? Yes,
exactly. Oh shit.
Could be.
Yeah. I remember like pulling up and you know going, I think this is a place, and walking through this little kind of gate. And I see this woman on a little, like a little carriage, dressed as a dominatrix, whipping a guy pulling the carriage with a big plastic horse head mask on his head. I go, oh yeah, this is Fat Mike's place.
It's like weirder than furries. Yeah, exactly.
You're in the right place.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a kinky there was that Christmas. One, it was then, like 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah, and then the next one, I think, was Alex's Bar, also Alex's outside.
That was the book debut.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. That was definitely still like, you know, like 21, early 2021, yeah, and yeah. just like, and it was this kind of like, I guess we'll get everyone together and like, maybe it's not a super spreader, hopefully. Okay, cool. Yeah, it very, I think we're all traumatized from that shit. And yeah. the reason, like, you know, the Spanish flu one that happened 100 years ago, like I could tell you all sorts of details about history. Like, and I was like, that one wasn't very much on my radar. I think it's probably they acted like assholes the same way we did this time around, that they're so embarrassed they never spoke about
but
it again.
But they were assholes right. that didn't have the internet. They didn't have social media. They didn't have Facebook.
Exactly. Exactly. But
there's more flat earthers today than there were 20 years ago, right?
Collectively, we're devolving.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's Devo. I mean, yeah. for fuck's sake. Yeah. yeah. That's Jerry Exali's on. Yeah. It's a whole, he deserves an honorary PhD in some degree somewhere.
Yeah, we're collectively getting stupider. You know, the more information we have available to us.
But yeah, I think I wonder
because it's short. Like you read books, I can tell.
I'm literate.
But I got to the point. I had to quit Twitter for a number of reasons.
Oh, yeah,
but
no,
one of them is because I couldn't read anything that was more than 240 characters.
Yeah,
you know, I wanted to jump to the next thing. Of course, now I'm on Instagram, and it's just, you know,
it's just me
pictures.
Fucked up things.
30-second videos of cats.
I premature ejaculate, masturbate all day long. So same thing. Actually, I think I'm probably doing something more useful than reading, looking at Twitter. So
I used to read books all the time, though, and I it's harder for me to get through a book.
Oh, you know? Yeah,
it's just more difficult now.
And it's pop music's interesting. I mean, because like I love. Like I like classical music, like and there is that kind of thing of like we're like, well, where's the part I can hum along? Where's the hit part? You know what I mean? Because it's
right.
like, you know, Beethoven's Ninth, it's like 72 minutes generally speaking. So you're like, I mean, that's a long time to sit and listen to watch people. You know.
Yeah, yeah. What do I grab onto here?
Yeah, you're like, this is this is the kind of the opposite of Twitter in some weird way.
Yeah,
I'm exhausted. Yeah. I need a mental break here for a second.
Can we,
let's take a quick let's change
intermission every 90 seconds, maybe.
No, we're gonna come back. To yours. Lots more good stuff
to
talk
ADD
about.
But here,
I meant to check in with you at the beginning of the podcast. We got excited about podcast number 10.
Oh, yes.
And then we're just off to the races, right?
Sorry.
No. No, this is great. This is great. Don't lose
this
that.
This is why
thought.
We saved you for the season finale.
Don't lose those thoughts. We are going to South America. I thought we should just mention that.
We are. We're going to Central America first, I guess, this weekend. And then we're going to South America like a week, 2 weeks later.
That's right. One show in Costa Rica, which is the first time we've ever played there.
Yeah, first time in Costa Rica.
Which will be really cool. South America. So South America decided to take Lollapalooza and do Lollapalooza South America. So I don't know who they have to pay, if Perry gets that money or whatever, but so we're going down to do Lollapalooza in South America.
Fuck yeah. Wow. We went to South America with you guys years ago.
One of our first tours down there.
That was the first time we went down there, yeah. That was my first time down there. Yeah.
South America is amazing because it is exciting, and the crowds are just next level, and it's also what I would call, in a nice way, a little sketchy. Right?
Oh, like, it's horrifying. it's, you know, you're alive. Yeah. We're trying to stay alive. It's gnarly.
Remember we played this place in Recife, and I swear it was like a bombed out building, and there were oil cans that had been set on fire. That was the crowd, and then in Big Slam Pit, right?
It's like a libertarian paradise.
So it was awesome. I'm not. Like I get a kick out of that kind of energy, a little bit out of control, So we always look forward to it, but you kind of never know what you're going to get, you know. Wires.
No safe spaces.
We've had a number of places that were at riot level or near riot level. And I remember our security guard one time running backstage. Okay, there's a problem. Like, dude, you're supposed to be the cool one, man. You know?
That's not good when the security guy runs panicking.
Yeah. Like, hang the offering.
It was like people, like, you know, it was oversold. People trying to get in, trying to break down doors to get in. It was
that
sort of thing. There was also a lot of like riots. Like I know one time we were in Chile and it was the anniversary of the coup or some coup or something.
Wow,
and so
that's
it was
gnarly.
Like, yeah, so we got to get the fuck out, you know, as quick as we can because there's going to be protests. And
you guys playing any coup anniversaries this time?
Coup anniversary. I don't know. Should look
it
up.
That's exactly. We do that. You do the silver anniversary for the coup or what?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, right? I don't know.
I think because we go to a lot of the same places and cities and countries or whatever, but I think we're doing Uruguay for the first time.
Oh, shit.
Trip.
Look at that. What about Paraguay? So. No Paraguay, just Uruguay?
I know, I know. That could cause a problem. I
is
don't know.
Is it true Ecuador's on the equator?
It is, actually.
That's weird. What a coincidence.
So, anyway,
I've been to Ecuador. On my honeymoon, I went to Ecuador, actually.
That's Central America. That's,
actually,
that's,
there's riots in Ecuador down the port city. I flew through there to get
Equanimity.
To the Galapagos.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of unrest happening. All over the world there's unrest happening.
It's, you know, that's we're a strange bunch, aren't we? These humans.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's just...
I think
weird humans.
One of the biggest shows we ever played was there just, what, a year ago? We did Rock in Rio.
Oh, fuck. The infamous one. Yeah, that's and goes back forever, too. Yeah.
It's weird. You get to a certain point where it doesn't even look real anymore. It's like...
You fit the infinity singularity, whatever. At some point, every person in the world that's ever lived is there somehow. Yeah.
It's like if you play a club, I'm very comfortable with that, right? It's 100 people. You feel like you can... Yeah. It's like you're in your living room, right?
Countable.
And then if you get to a certain point, you might get a little nervous if it's 3,000 or 5,000 or whatever. But I think once you hit like 75, it doesn't even matter whether it's 75,000 or 750,000. They're just little dots. They're ants out there.
No.
Right?
It's... that's in the collective effervescence. Like I said, I think there's probably emergent qualities of when you get that many fucking people together, it becomes a humanity or something like that. Or whatever, or this entity of Rock and Rio, whatever you would call that.
So it was 200,000, I think, last
that's
time
insane.
We did it.
Wow.
We were very lucky. We played right before Guns N' Roses, and as soon as we left the stage, somebody accidentally set off Guns N' Roses fireworks. So all their fireworks went off.
That's classic.
Right
South
after,
America,
right after we, right.
The fireworks guys like.
Yeah.
So we got credit for their fireworks show, which is great.
For free.
It looked like it was us.
For free.
Like,
yeah.
You're welcome.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know who got in trouble for that, but that was what. Wasn't us.
Wasn't us.
So you never know what's going to happen in South America. But to give you an example, one of the last times we were there was in February of 2020.
It was March.
March
15th
or 16th.
Oh, right before the shit hit the fan.
Shit was slowly hitting the fan. We knew that, okay, this is probably going to be our last tour before everything shuts down. We thought we'd get through South America.
And they're talking about different territories, like, ooh, it's getting a little nutty in Italy. But other places were kind of okay. Remember when it was kind of like that?
Italy got real sketchy real quick. Like Seattle did.
Italy was already getting hit pretty bad, actually. I was listening to the podcast on that trip about Italy, and it was frightening.
And I think we flew to... Buenos Aires, right?
Is that we flew originally to Buenos Aires, and show got canceled. And then
after we were there, they said, come down. It's going to happen.
Pennywise was going to fly down and play the show with us like a day or two in Chile, which was actually a makeup show because we were down there and they had a riot because they shut down they raised the cost of transportation. And so all the locals rioted.
So
our show got canceled.
See, now that's
the
politics, the very active politics of bus fare? Oh, fuck no.
That's a big deal.
Of course. Coming to Southern California, know, where public transportation is just not a factor.
Right.
It's just amazing. You go someone's like, what's an extra... Whoa. We're not doing that.
We're going to burn the city down.
Pennywise will not play.
That's exactly where you want to be.
While we were in Argentina, I see Randy Bradbury tweet, a lot of people are going to learn the phrase force majeure.
Right.
And I go, they're not coming.
They're not coming.
Okay.
So they decided not to get on the plane. We were already down there. Yeah. And meanwhile, they're saying, we're going to cancel the show in Argentina. But the next one in Brazil, that's still happening. No problem. Don't worry about it. Brazil's totally different.
And the virus is respect borders.
Chile. It was actually Chile.
I thought Brazil got canceled, and then we went to Chile.
I think it was, but we were going to go to Brazil after. I think Buenos Aires was the first.
I think you went to the Chili's at the airport on the way back.
Argue about who said what and when.
Exactly.
Anyway, in order for my story to work out right, it has to happen in three. So the second one has to get canceled.
Right? No. That's traditional. That's like it's
traditional storytelling, right?
Screenplay writing, exactly.
You've got
first act, second act.
You might be right. I might.
Boy meets girl. Boy loses girl. Boy gets girl back.
Okay. So we finally. So they tell us to go to Chile. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. And it gets really sketchy because then they say, okay, there's now the government says, and this is changing like every 6 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You can have 2,000 people there. Or you can have 500 people there. You can have I don't know. They're changing the numbers. Eventually, they just go, oh, fuck it. People are here and we don't want another riot because there's several thousand people at this show, right? So they tell us to go ahead and play it. we play, we go on stage, and you can just tell how gnarly it is. And I said, welcome to the last rock show in the Western Hemisphere.
The world's over, yeah. Congratulations.
And I think we were, actually. I think we were like one of the last shows that actually went down.
Big concerts like that.
That's an honor. That's kind of like, like all said and done, like in the retrospect or whatever, the encyclopedia kind of looking back. Like, that's a key moment. Like, what was the big last whatever before the pandemic? Because that was...
It was crazy.
I still don't think we've contextualized it emotionally, like what the fuck that was all about, because it was like there was no frame of reference before that.
For us, not for our generation.
Which is kind of like half the kind of like the pushback of just people being ding dongs about it was just like, you tell me what to do. Like, I'm not going to wear that thing. And obviously the internet, but that whole kind of like, and this whole idea of like. What was interesting, maybe say it's a dry run, because maybe if it only kills 2-3% like this, which is obviously if it kills you, that's 100% bad for you. But, this minor kind of thing of like maybe a dry run for whatever the real one that's coming up next year, which I'm excited about, you guys.
Let's see what happens.
Please, no.
It's so weird. I think we need to be debriefed, I think, is the culturally, like some weird way. Like, you can't just pretend that didn't happen and have everything be normal. I think it's a weird thing.
That's true. There's been no report like, this is what we've learned from this, and this is how we should answer it next time.
Still arguing about the tiny, minuscule bullshit, a social autopsy
is what we need to have.
We learned nothing.
Actually,
you don't need a report.
I think that's your next 10 episodes, probably.
That's your next 10. Yeah. So when we got done with that show, it was like, can we get out of Chile in time, because they were going to shut the whole thing down.
No more
flights coming out, and they're like, you better get on this flight.
We were all on different flights, scrambling.
So it's like Hanoi.
At that moment, they're like, you might be here for the next 3 months if you don't go real estate, look for
a new house.
So we got out, thank God.
That's hard.
Todd and I were on the second to the last flight out of Lima. We had to go from Santiago to Lima, Peru, and we were on the second to the last flight from Lima to LA.
Whoa.
Oh my God. That's kind of like hearing that back. There is that kind of like, you do kind of feel alive a little bit. That's that South American energy where you're like, we got out of that one. Whoa, that's all fucking adrenaline.
Yeah. So you never know what you're going to get. It's great.
That's hardcore.
It's fun. And the show, all kidding aside, the shows are incredible. They're amazing there. I can't wait to go.
That last show must have been amazing though. With that audience and everyone kind of being like, it's fucking 1999 or whatever, kind of.
It's always crazy down there, though.
Maybe it's too much, actually, when I think about it. South America.
Those are the best audiences to play to because it's just so much energy coming off and you feel it. It's insane.
It's bonkers.
It's insane, but they're so passionate. You don't want to get too close.
No.
They'll rip your glasses off. To play for him is amazing. Just phenomenal.
To be burned in effigy down there.
They don't turn on you. They might rip you apart out of excitement.
They will love you to death.
Yeah. They want a piece of you.
Love you to death.
I'm going to hug you till you die. That's how much I love you.
That's like that. That's what it feels like.
Poggers.
And the other thing they all want is they all want a guitar pick.
Plectrum.
Plectrum.
Yeah. So I try to carry extra ones. I try to carry them all the time just to.
You almost have to have like 1,000 guitar picks in your pocket.
In case I need to shred a solo.
I play with my fingers, so you can just have a finger.
Yeah, what does Jeff Beck hand out?
Exactly.
Nothing anymore. But.
He's like, I got some shavings.
So we're looking forward to that. It's going to be really fun.
This is a victorious return. Is this your first time back down there since the whole thing?
Well, I guess Rock and Rio was...
Oh, never mind. That's right. Dude, that's hard.
Still weird.
200. That's... Yeah. See, it's one of those things that it gets into like, we're talking about the Plimsoll song, A Million Miles Away, which was obviously being like, they were being hyperbole, A Million Miles Away. It's not that fucking far. Right. And so, Pluto or A Million Light Years, that's far.
Relative to that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, say like, you play like, whatever, the biggest sports arena, whatever, forum, whatever it holds, 12,000-15,000 like that. That's an inconceivable amount of people. That's more people than, if you had to meet all those people and know their first names, like, you'd spend your whole life doing it.
That's right.
But then exponent, you go up past that, like you start adding zeros like to that. What the fuck?
It's like, whoa.
Yeah, there's no kind of like way to bring it down to, we have whatever, 7 trillion cells in our body. And then we got 7 trillion, excuse me, 7 trillion bacteria cells, or 8 trillion. There's more fake of us. Like, what the fuck is going on here?
And we're back. We are back. Yeah.
I'm so high.
All good points. Good points. I mean, a million miles is far. If you're an ant, it's far.
Oh, yeah.
It's far if you're walking. It's just relative.
And
I guess
it's a made up term too. It's a fucking mile anyway. Was it like some king's foot like 5,000 times? I don't care.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that. Oh my gosh. Now I lost where I was going with this.
No, but South America, that rock and reel thing, that's.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a different, every kind of crowd, every size crowd has a different energy, I think. Like, I love they say, which kind of shows do you like doing the best? And of course, I love the club shows because there's I hate to use the word intimacy about it, but it's true. You're hanging out with friends.
You're
right?
Breathing other people's air. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. But I love big shows because, like, when they all jump up and down at the same time, there's massive humanity to it and energy.
You remind me of a very surreal moment I had with you guys. Like, okay, on tour with the Vandals, went with you on tour during Smash in Italy. And this was like, first of all, when you guys started, when. First of all, hearing you guys on the radio, first of all, I'm all, wait, that's the Offspring? The guys like, from like COVID that we play that show? Like, them? Wow. And then like, obviously it became this whole phenomenon. And then like, and then talk about fucking collective effervescence. I remember it was in Milan that we opened for you guys. And Italy is kind of that South America vibe too, which is
for sure.
Oh, yeah. Momento.
Very passionate.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so, and it was basically this forum-sized place, and you guys were playing Bad Habit.
Okay.
And, okay, first of all, and having spent enough time in Italy where you realize there ain't a lot of fucking English going on there. You know what I mean? They're like, it's you know, it's not
that's
like Sweden,
true, yeah,
where they're like correcting your English, you know?
Right, yeah, sure.
So, when it came to the breakdown of the goddamn dumb shit motherfucker. It was, first of all, you know, 10,000 Italians for a punk show. I mean, just so many levels of inconceivable going on. And you guys play, and when it came to that breakdown, they knew every fucking word, every syllable, whether they fucking even knew what it meant. But it was like, and that whole, and that's a long break. That's going on a limb. That's a fucking, you know, for, like, you're presuming that it's, and they just fucking, and yeah, it was like, God damn, don't shit. Mother, this fucking. At that point, I'm like, it was just, that's fucking, that's like effervescent, but with like overspray.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah. It was gnarly. That was.
Yeah, like, there's real energy to that, right?
And having never seen it, like, but knowing like the whole backstory of like kind of all the narratives leading up to like that
it's
weird.
More like ejaculescence.
It was a moment where I'm going to go, that was fucking bonkers. Yeah. Right? And I was like, it was just, I'd be like so for you guys. I had the fortunate of being just to have witness it and be like kind of like sit in that moment a little longer. You guys back in the song, but when I was like, "Do you fucking hear what the Yeah, that was very surreal.
We're very fortunate. We get a lot of singing at our shows. It's really cool. Yeah.
I remember going to Italy our very first time. We were opening for NoFX, so this was '93 before Smash had even come out. And there was kids singing all the whoa-whoa-whoas, you know, along to stuff off Ignition. I was like, how do these kids in Italy know this stuff? That was rad.
They're like, if you could figure out, maybe, like, if you could, the Italian genome, like, figure out what genes it is that makes it so, like, and kind of put that in all audiences or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
right,
go, like,
yeah,
have
yeah,
a CRISPR
yeah.
thing. Like, we're like, we're going to give you an injection, so you're going to be an audience tonight.
We're
going to
have
some
GMO audiences.
We got the Italian shit. It's badass. Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a good show.
It's going to be a good show, yeah.
CRISPR our audiences.
Oh, man. That is true. So, anyway, we got, we're doing a lot of festival-type stuff this year, so it'll be cool in that way.
We are doing 30 years of Smash, a couple of shows where we're going to do Smash in its entirety.
God. Oh,
30 years this year. Can you believe that?
That's like dog years? Or
No. Yeah, like real
like
human years.
That 30 like years, that sounds wrong. Yeah, I don't know.
Doesn't it?
I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah. So we're doing a show in Orange County for that.
At least one.
Kind of a special whatever, play the album kind of thing.
Yeah. Or like, oh my God, you should do it like... like when they it was like Nightmare Before Christmas, have guest stars coming in doing cameos for each line for each song.
That'd
or something.
Be rad. Yeah.
Like here's Billie Eilish for goddamn motherfucker.
I love it. I love it. I watched that documentary the other night, by the way, that We Are the World. It's called, what is it, The Greatest Night in Rock?
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah. Wait, which
maybe
one's
tonight
that?
I'll get Jack.
It's a documentary about the making of We Are the World. It's really cool.
Oh, wow. Where Josh Fries had his 50th birthday party.
That's right.
Same room. Yeah.
Oh, is that where they
Yeah, that's the same room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah, A&M. Yeah. What was A&M then? Yeah.
Anything
I'm wondering, like, why didn't Bob Dylan and Cyndi Lauper collaborate? Because obviously there's a lot of chemistry going on in that room. I haven't seen the documentary, but I guess they explain why.
What did something happen?
Bob Dylan and Cyndi Lauper.
Did they hook up?
I'm just saying they have such cohesive, like they complement each other on so many levels just to be in the same room. The sparks that are flying. I'm just wondering what did. I think the A&R staff was just, you know, derelict that night.
Messed up that one. Yeah. They put Huey Lewis in the mix, so that was good. You know, because everyone likes
Huey
Lewis.
No news.
No news.
Huey Lewis and the fake news.
Fuck
the news. Huey Lewis and the fake news.
Fake news. Oh, man. So. Anyway,
sorry.
Enough about us. We've talked about the Vandals a lot, but you played with Oingo Boingo. You started in Gherkin Ruckus, I think. Or maybe not started, but that's one of your early bands.
Yeah, I saw Gherkin Ruckus a couple of times, and you just blew me away with your sparkly helmet and just running around. I thought, I want to do that. That looks like so much fun. I want to do that.
It was like, I don't know if we're doing it on purpose. It was like being a handicapped kid. And I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no. See, that's
that part of the joke.
It's like, this is the whole thing. I've self-diagnosed with, I think I'm on the spectrum, so whatever. But I think by defining something as a spectrum,
right.
I think that includes everyone.
Sure.
You know, because it's, you know, you
sure,
can, even if
spectrum.
You're off the spectrum, yeah, you're still spectrum adjacent. Doesn't matter. But like that whole thing of like, especially if you don't pick up on social norms or you're just a weirdo, which I think is also another word for an artist. It's just, you're kind of like puking out your whatever's in your head that's made up and then making it real somehow. And but yeah, so which is kind of the special kid who's like, have you met my pig friend in my hand? You know, whatever. So, same idea.
Right.
That's the helmet? Is that where you're getting going?
The helmets were actually, that was more of a tactical thing because we were at this thrift store and they had two matching American flag, like, what do you call them? Easy Rider kind of helmets.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Sparkle
Flag. I'm like, if I wore that and then the singer wore that, we could bonk our heads together and not get hurt, and that would be badass. Like, okay. So that was where it came from. That was the first thing. So I'm like, you still kind of, it still rings your bell a little bit. The shitty old helmets do, but yeah, it was worth it, the visual.
I love that. That's where your mind, when you see a helmet, hey, what can I do?
There's two. Wait, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that we did a thing for a while, like, and this is just, this actually starts to hurt after a while, but we would go to, like, what's why I'm not a sports person, but I love going to sports supply stores because they just got crazy, like, tactical shit. You're like, oh my God, I could put that around my wrist, or I can do this and that, or look at flashlights. And they had like a jock strap. Like, I never played sports. I didn't know what a fucking jock strap was. I'm like, oh my God, it's a cup. You put your whole ding dong and balls inside of it. And then I'm like, dude, so I got what we bought one. And I'm like, Dave, kick me in the balls. Like, he was running start. I'm like, we're doing this on stage all night tonight. This is the best. And so, like, it's over and over. Full on kicks. I'm like, doesn't hurt. You know, and it's just creating that illusion of, or whatever, the suspension of disbelief.
I missed that gag. I missed that one. Can you bring it back? Can
sure,
you bring
yeah,
it one back?
Sure, yeah, we all can.
I'd love to.
30th anniversary.
So this is 30th anniversary. Yeah. This is great because you're talking about
a cup now. Next show, Smash Show. He's wearing a
capitalizing
cup.
On, you know, your not your emotional capitalizing on. Your emotional maybe unwellness or unusual,
yeah.
You know. But you also said one of the most poignant things I ever thought. You said, manners, good manners is just keeping your craziness away, your mental illness away from other people.
It's being
so
tiny.
So on one hand, there's good mental illness that helps you be creative and run around with a helmet and get kicked in the balls and entertains people. And on the other hand, there's a limit to how much mental illness you should share with the audience.
Which is another example of a spectrum, you know? Like, you know, and this whole idea of, like, well, it's funny, because we're all weirdos, okay? Everyone in this room,
absolutely.
Anyone who's watching or whatever, listening, it's...
Can confirm.
It is, there's no optimal, normal human being. And if there is, I don't want to meet that person. You're going to fucking feel like an asshole. Because yeah, like, right, you're yeah. like, why is everything normal for you? Like, yeah. like, you're like, well, like, how come you're not like in the shower screaming because you can't get that fucking soap thing open or whatever? You know what I mean? Like, what, like, where's your problems? You know? And that aspect of it and that idea of like, and being alive, it was someone said, I forget what it was, but it was like, they go, life is, it's awesome. It's all things, but it's also severe. It's it gets your fucking attention. Certainly it does all the time. And so, and that, and how do you regulate that? There's no like, goddamn, no, don't shit, motherfucker. I think that's why that song strikes a fucking chord. Because like, right. who hasn't, and punk rock
people
in general,
relate.
All this
yeah,
kind of energy
relate.
And yeah. dissipating it in a healthy way and, or in a way that's kind of like, oh, fuck yeah. Yeah. You know, like, and it makes everyone else feel sane because the other person's going crazy in a way that they want to go crazy. And, yeah. and I think it actually yeah. kind of like, you know, regulates it.
That's why yeah. I think I gravitated towards punk rock more than like all the pop stuff.
Because
it wasn't. Yeah. And, you know, it was dark and it talked about, you know, being disenfranchised and, you know, go home and jack off instead, you know. And
it's, I think punk rock also, the beauty of punk rock and the reason why I think it will be at least whatever it's called, it's been around forever and it will be around forever. It's this sense of autonomy where you're like, yeah, I'm not exactly popular, but I'd choose not to be. Yeah. I'm over here with these weirdos, and we collectively boycott all your popularity.
I read the greatest phrase, and I can't get the whole thing right, but you say, you know, yeah, I don't fit in. I'm a weirdo, but you know, and just to prove it, here, look at this silly haircut I gave myself.
Right now, you're like, I told the barber to do this. This is on purpose. It's just like, you know, it's like when you trip and you kind of like, well, what's up with the carpet? But you're just clumsy, you know, like, yeah. it's that kind of thing. Like, oh, I meant to do that.
So great.
You know,
like, right.
Yeah. And that's punk rock. Just may as well be called I meant to do that. The whole lifestyle, the whole
yeah,
culture.
Right. Yeah, to do that.
And that's autonomy. That's what you feel alive. Like, well, I'm not a puppet. I'm your puppet.
It's like, yeah, well, you won't let me be part of your group. I don't want to be part of your group.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I'm going to set myself
fuck
aside.
Fuck you, what do
yeah,
you told
yeah.
me?
Yeah, exactly.
That's the gold sweater. It yeah, says, makes
exactly.
that point.
And that was the kind of concentric circles of like, it's so punk not to be punk, and it's punk, and you're like, blah, blah, blah. And at some point, I'm like, I don't know, that speaks to me. I don't know why, because little kids get the best fucking wardrobe, and I can't, you know, I have to dye my own clothes so I can get something fun and bright, you know? Nice. I made pants.
Do you literally
soup, I made
dye,
these.
You dye your own clothes?
I'm thinking about doing a YouTube, maybe like tutorial or life hack kind of thing.
I would watch that.
Like, you buy white pants, and you cook them on the stove, like it's a jambalaya, and okay. it's like a whole process, and...
It's like alchemy. Rit dye or something. What was the dye?
Rit dye. It's the same shit yeah. that same company that you do for Easter eggs, and it's there's something cathartic about it, like just cooking pants on your stove.
You really dyed your own pants?
Yeah, no. This is.
It never occurred to me that shade might be hard to find.
Even with the fucking internet, you can't get fun colored pants for grown up adults.
The shirt too.
I just assumed Old Navy.
The shirt's a little easier because like they're a little more experimental. But somebody's okay. committing to pants. Like I think just to have like my idea. I have a lot of dumb or things wrong with me. So basically, like I understand how to match something is that if the shirt underneath matches the thing, and then I have the other thing that's maybe kind of the other side of the spectrum. The color spectrum. Yes. So okay. And that's my OCD kind of dressing.
Are you a little
dressing.
Colorblind or?
Fuck yeah.
Are you like green colorblind or?
I think it's just more like. I see a color and then I forget what it is or if someone goes that's blue and I'm like oh, okay like if it's close I'm like a ballpark color person
okay
you know all right. So whatever if that colorblind
it sounds like it
okay yeah.
I'm green
well,
colorblind
on the one hand,
so...
you're talking about wanting to wear bright colored stuff and yet you may not know what color that is.
Well, I can see colors like and just the idea is like I think I'm lost on the subtleties is probably especially from like some like visual artists that are like gnarly and like you know
right.
and
obviously
yeah and so well and it's all in a weird way it's probably it's kind of it's an autonomy thing too like I already feel like fucking weird. Like I feel like a weirdo. So in a weird way, I feel like if I show up kind of in like a birthday clown outfit a little bit, then I've kind of like gotten that off my chest. I'm like arriving in the room as is, no explanation required.
Right.
Like, there's yeah. weirdo. Okay. Cool.
Here's me being
so
honest.
Like, tattoos are probably the same thing.
Here's
like,
me being yeah, honest yeah, yeah. to you from the get go. In my
yeah, exactly.
yeah. My appearances.
This is me on the inside and the outside. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. now they align. So we can you yeah. know you could choose to go away or whatever
and,
you're into.
Announcing your presence. You said like tattoos in a way that's
yeah,
true. That announces
it,
who
or,
you are.
Or a funny haircut. Whatever. Yeah, it's, yeah. It's, and that's my punk, and it's the DIY part. There's something about cooking, you know, cutting your own hair, like the first thing, you know, or dyeing your own hair. It's the same thing. Cooking pants for me. Cooking pants is my legacy. Legacy. For
I don't
pants.
Do my own hair legacy. Anymore. Yes. Yes. It's it's like you said, cathartic. Cathartic.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Your meditation.
Oh, yeah. And the, catharsis. And oh, God, there's a whole thing. What is it? Catharsis is just, it's just jizz. I mean, like
it's one way to think of it.
In the like spiritual that. Sense, though, like it's orgasm. It's
how are you not
it's
a professor of philosophy?
I love philosophy.
Catharsism is
talking about
jizz.
Jerking off. Oh my God, philosophy! Wow.
Yeah. Right. It seriously.
Once they get into like it's a mass step, but like I love philosophizing, but philosophy. Yeah, it's just. I just, there's like Nietzsche's punk. I mean, there's a lot of like Schopenhauer. What was it? Is it Schopenhauer or Stockhausen? One of those fucking dudes. He's just like, here's my philosophy. You know, say, is it better to have a good life or a bad life? You know what the best life is? No life ever. He's like, I'm so jealous of abortions. Like, this guy's just hardcore. He's like, existential is the winning scenario. And there's a kind of like, it's not even, it's like beyond nihilism. But all this kind of like, it's just a great fucking Wikipedia portal. Like, to go like, oh, okay, well, who's the existential?
Beyond nihilism.
Yeah.
Beyond nihilism. Yeah.
Yes, it's uber nihilism.
That's great, yeah.
Oh, man. Tell us about Team America.
Team America. Okay. Oh, I worked briefly on that. I think 2 days playing guitar on that with the first of all the songs in Team America. Like first of all South Park. Those guys are gnarly. Okay,
it's a classic. Classic movie.
And so
cult favorite.
Like I, you know, do sporadic session work where you come in and you're playing on, especially for film stuff where it's like, you know, because they have a whole score quite often, or it's, you know, like a lot of music to be done rather quickly, and you know, either the sheet music or they're like, learn this now and play it, like, you know, Josh Fries kills it, that kind of shit.
Right,
so
right.
Went in there and I'm all, oh, this is the fucking South Park dudes movie, okay, and so having never heard anything go in there, first song they play is America Fuck Yeah. I'm all. I'm all. That song is a classic. Oh, I go. This is. I go. It's so rare that the first time you hear a song, you go, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Yeah.
And
that's
like,
great.
And you know, you're watching with the playback from the film too, and I'm like, I go. This song is probably first of all, it's so punk, and it's so smart. It's so stupid smart. And so sushi. You know, like all these rallying all these American things. Yeah, exactly. And so. And it's funny because for the session, it was, what's his name? Justin. He played bass in Nine Inch Nails. He's a producer guy. Like, he played with Beck and like all those other kind of people. So, bass player, and then drums, Brooks Wackerman, who's gnarly, amazing drummer.
Yeah.
And one of those, just, drum freaks like Josh Fries, well, the weirdest we know. So, we hear that song where it's like, wow. Okay, cool. So, we learn it. Next song is, I think, like, what was it? Everyone has AIDS. I just been off this, like, I've been like attempting to, or worked on the idea of writing a musical a few different times. And so I would go deep into like research. And so I had already been down the rent rabbit hole. So I'm like going, oh my God, this kind of sums up the whole, what do you call it? Libretto of Rent, where they're like,
right.
AIDS. Like, it's La Boheme. It's they lifted the original thing, but it's just, it's like where, it's just the delivery of the storytelling. Just so it's so like spoon fed. Like I'm just Rent didn't move me in the way it did some people, but it was a great way. I had the cassette when the play first came out or whatever the musical, and we would play it on the bus. To get people off the bus.
You played the Rent?
Yeah, I played the opening song that, how are we gonna pay last year's rent? It's just like,
it's like
a bad gag. So I'm very well, and I hear everyone has AIDS. I'm like, oh my God, these guys they just absolutely nail it. Like, and then I'm so Ronery. Fuck it, just one song after, what is it? Freedom Cost a Buck 98. It's like, so I'm going, this is a big fucking deal. I go, this movie, like, and first of all, because it's done in the marionette, so watching, I go, this movie, I know how well it was going to do. This is a big fucking deal, especially the America Fuck Yeah song.
Are you old enough to remember the marionette shows when we were kids?
Oh, yeah, no, like the Thunderbirds kind of shit?
Yeah.
Well, then the funny thing, so we did that song, and so I'm like, conceivably, this is Well, since I played on it, we could when we went to the Vandals played in Iraq for the troops. We should play that song. And the funny thing is, this is like the December after that. Like they had everyone there knew it because they had the bootlegs that were sold in the fucking the Baghdad DVD kind
of
thing.
Of course.
So they had everyone knew it. They knew the whole movie because they were living it. Like basically what's going on. The whole kind of gnarly and that whole trip to we were there for 2 weeks. But every time we played it, they were like. But also appreciating the irony of it at the same time. Like, man, fuck yeah. Like, in a dirt field in the middle of fucking Camp Victory or whatever.
Yeah.
How many shows did you do out there?
We did, like, we were there for 2 weeks. We played almost every day. And we played forward operating bases. So this is over Christmas and New Year. So, it was amazing. And more than anything, it was just, like, fucking how not, it's just... It's in one of those things you can't describe it.
Your
vehicle is a Black Hawk that comes down and lands. There's two. There's one for the gear and one for you guys. Two gunners on each side. And you're flying like you fly so low so that no one can shoot you with a rocket or whatever. That you're going up over like power lines and shit. And then you're playing a FOB, a forward operating base, which is basically some walled-in area that's in the middle of nowhere. Like, hey, who wants to hear some punk music? Crazy. Right. They're like, thank God you're not a country band.
That's what they were saying.
That's all they get. That's all they get. Like, 90% of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it must have been surreal.
Yeah,
right?
And these are the same kids that you would see at the Warped Tour. They're like 23-year-old reserves that got called up on the thing. This was like 2000. I think it's before they even found Saddam. It was like we landed in Saddam International Airport, like from Kuwait. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah,
but like wild. Not like we're heroes. I mean, we held no guns and didn't do shit other than play the songs. But yeah, it was crazy.
You said just how normal things in life trip you out. That must have really tripped you out.
That was because this was like so early in the war too, and it was like over Christmas and New Year's, and the thing that was weird was like. And it was like watching CNN and like being so high that you walk inside the television set and you're sort of like, oh, here we are. You know, like it was like everything, like the green zone, all the shit. Like we're like, that's the thing. Right. What the fuck? Like remember they tried on the Saddam Hussein statue and the guy was riding around the head behind it? Yeah. That was when you go into Iraq proper, that was one of the things that someone tried to smuggle out. So it's sitting there as an example of like things not to steal. So I'm like, that was on TV like a month ago.
Oh my God.
Like, yeah, so it was
crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I've had quite a few people come up to me saying, hey, we were jamming you guys when we were in Iraq. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, this one guy at the show, he said that, he goes, dude, we were driving a tank and we were jamming. We cranked Hammerhead as we drove through Saddam's palace. He goes, that was the song that we busted into the palace with.
And it's,
badass. That's super badass.
Well, and it's like, it's interesting. Like it's like Apocalypse Now. Like it's kind of the Doors.
I was going to say.
And then generationally, it kind of makes sense that and punk rock seems, and we're like, especially.
I was
like
more Wagner. We're up there with Wagner.
The Flight of the Valkyries. Yeah.
I have mixed feelings about that, to be honest.
In a way,
it does make sense, doesn't it?
Right?
Yeah. They're all about that age where they think it's like the neuroscience of like where people generally cut off from like enjoying new music is about 24 or something like that. And so they're in their prime still. Most of these people are like, fuck yeah, I love this new fucking hit. Offspring's my favorite band. Let's go fucking knock over some castles or whatever.
Right, yeah, knock over some castles. Yeah. Yeah. Like the same way Metallica is or would have been for sure.
Yeah.
Several years ago, right? I totally get that connection actually.
Yeah. Whatever it was, I think it was like the first Gulf War when it was funny because that was like I was about that exact age too, like where like I knew people I went to high school with that were over there. And it was like someone, they were in Kuwait, all that kind of shit that was gone. And someone was playing the Doors and like, we didn't even get our own fucking soundtrack. What the fuck?
We got to listen to this Vietnam shit.
They're like, really? This is the end? Come on, man.
Do better than this.
Yeah, exactly. Like what maybe like, what was popular? Like, what about New Kids on the Block? I mean, like whatever, like early 90s.
Something.
There was, right before punk rock came, there was like, or even going back, like right before Nirvana, was like this just like just popular music as far as like especially rock music where it's just like, oh God, it's so terrible. It's all ballady bullshit and it's teased her fucking horse shit. These people are liars. They don't believe what they're saying.
they were liars.
Yeah.
They were liars. Black Ball, I haven't heard you talk for
like
Black 10
Ball,
minutes.
I'm sorry.
I know. never heard blackball this speechless before. Yeah.
This guy fucking fires off so quick, man. I can't even say anything, which is fine. I'm totally good with that because it's very entertaining.
I love blackball, by the way.
I have a front row seat, which is fucking great,
front row
man.
Seat, that's right.
I'm just right here enjoying it, taking it in. It's fucking amazing. The energy that he's talking about in Iraq, that's the energy I'm getting. I'm enjoying this.
Now, you were in the service for a while. Branch?
Fuck yeah. No, I was an army. I was in the reserves, but I never went overseas or anything like that.
You timed it right, yeah.
Yeah, I got it. I was actually, it's kind of a weird thing, because I wanted to join full-time, right? So the first time I went to go take this AOS test, right, is what you take to get placed. I didn't even give a fuck. I was just in high school, and I wanted to just get out of class. So I didn't even look at the questions. I was kind of hungover. And I just didn't even look at the questions. And so then I said, you know what? I want to go in the Air Force. And so I went to the Air Force recruiter and said, oh, your test scores are too low. I said, listen, I was just fucking around. Like, I could take it again. And he goes, okay. So I took it again. And then they're like, hey, we think you're cheat. They think you're cheating because your test scores improved so much.
Oh,
so
wow.
So then I had
man.
To go take it a third time at, like, this
for
base.
Proof.
Yeah, for proof where there's, like, soldiers watching me take it. And then at that point, like, I went and it matched my second score. So they said, yeah, you can sign up. So I went and signed up for the Air Force full time. But then I was only 17 and my mom wouldn't sign the papers.
Oh,
and so she's like, no, I won't sign it. Cause I graduated when I was 17 and she wouldn't sign. And then once I graduated, I started fucking partying way harder. And it just kind of went on the back burner. Then I got
killed
busted
a few IQ points and
yeah, I ended up
in the army.
Well, I got busted with buying alcohol with a fake ID, and I had pending, like, I had a bunch of, I started to kind of go down that road.
They're like,
and
you're not qualified to kill anyone anymore.
Well, I think they still would have taken me.
Not
but
in the Air
I,
Force anymore.
I changed my mind. Yeah. I was like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I like being out here partying. And so then I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll just join the reserves. And so then I joined the reserves. And so I was in the Army, Army Reserve. That's
you do full boot camp though, like you did the
yeah,
whole
I
thing.
Yeah, I did boot camp at Fort Sill, Oklahoma, and that was the first place I ever wanted to just blend in. Like I
oh,
didn't God. Want.
Yeah,
I
didn't
did
want
to
stay.
A full metal jacket. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, that was. I got in my first fist fight naked in the shower with somebody there. That was. I've never fist fought somebody naked.
Not this week.
Yeah. Yeah. So I said first time.
Okay, sorry.
I didn't say
time.
Only time. I said
before I came
first time.
With it.
But, huh? So we're in the shower, like, because it's like a group shower thing, right? But there's just like little walls, but there's no front door or anything. And so I was just kind of fucking around throwing cold water on the guy next to me. Like, we're just fucking around. That sounds kind of homoerotic. I think a lot of gay porn stars
all military
that way.
Is it? Right?
But so I'm throwing cold water on this one guy, and then he threw it at me. Like, he was trying to get me, and then it got on some guy from Brooklyn. And you know, those, uh-huh. like, and he got all fucking.
There's a guy named Brooklyn in every squad,
yeah.
too. Yeah.
Well, he wasn't. Yeah. Yeah. And so then I ended up, he started talking shit to my friend, and so I just laid him out, and he just fell. And hit his head, and then that was that. But, yeah, I also fought some fucking guy over, of all things, over the Dodgers. And I didn't even fucking like baseball. But he was
that's actually better. I like that.
Yeah,
it's just out of principle.
Yeah, because he was from Georgia, and they were playing the playoffs or something. And he just kept going on and on about fuck the Dodgers. And I'm like, motherfucker, fuck you, you know. And yeah. I literally beat his ass. Just for that, like
I think you were in the
really
right.
A stupid
now,
reason.
Did you take
like,
your clothes off before
naked?
Or after
no,
you beat
no,
him up?
I should have challenged him naked, but we fought.
He's
fully
all
clothed.
Meet me in the showers.
Yeah, we fought fully clothed. But yeah, no,
that story's not as good as the.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah. I should have built up, go the other way.
No, I like what's it's insightful as a non-sports enthusiast, like to kind of see where that like it does make sense. Like
yeah.
I think a lot of people that are in sports don't even I don't think they are.
No.
Like they burn down their own city when they win.
Yeah.
Like I don't think
win
they understand who won.
No. Yeah. No. Well, yeah. I've always said that about soccer, right? I'm like, dude, they always say soccer's like the world sport, right? And I'm like, dude.
Oh, God, soccer.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, soccer's fucking boring. I said drinking is a world sport and soccer's the background music.
Yeah.
That, like, that's just a
shit.
Fact, you
talking
know?
Shit.
Drinking is the fucking world sport. No one is sober fucking watching soccer.
Have you ever tried to play soccer? It's so exhausting. You got to run all
dude.
Over the place.
That's
oh,
why
God.
They just kick. Don't fucking run.
Who made that up? It's like a punishment.
Yeah, dude.
I actually got
into it on purpose.
Watching soccer when my kid played it. Yeah. My daughter was into soccer, and
soccer
she,
moms are drunk. Why do you think so?
I coached soccer.
Yeah, I know, right?
I coached soccer for like 12, 13 years.
That's just parenting. Yeah. That's
just being a good dad.
So after Black Ball's illustrious military career, he's ended up here on the podcast. Yeah. And what do you think? You think he's our sidekick?
Okay,
sidekick.
This is another thing. Not being a sports fan, but some of the things I admire as an outsider, just like a Martian viewing an activity, is that sports teams have like a mascot. They have an embodiment of kind of like the energy, and that's, and see, all the way back to Keep Them Separated, the whole thing is like, and it's funny because like the first time when I was playing in Boingo is when it was the you guys played the Weenie Roast, and right. Boingo was on that same night.
I remember seeing you there. Yeah.
And so I remember running into you and hearing the whole backstory. Like, I didn't realize, oh, well, he's, and then he came out on stage and did the whole, you know, was like the whole introduction. It's kind of like, you're like, it's funny because you're funny. You're a very funny guy, and you're very like your Instagram, but you also have this obviously everyman energy that is very relatable to like a large crowd. We're like, oh, it's one of us, you know?
Right.
And so like, it came out and that whole thing, like the whole delivery and the keeping, and it's just that whole thing. It was just like, I was like, this is fucking kind of rad. This, because it just felt very organic, and it's like obviously you know each other, and it's like it's one of those things to like, obviously you've traveled the band too, so much, and like it's one of those things when someone's traveling with the band, like, well, what do you do with the band? And you're like,
I drink their beer.
No,
and
you're like, what? You're like. Oh, what would you be like? Yeah, it's like, it's not mascot. It's like above mascot. It's like a spiritual
our hype man.
I like mascot. That's pretty funny. You're like the guy in the clown suit.
Exactly.
Basically.
Yeah.
You're our wild wing. Yeah.
Or like the hype man, or the what's the other thing they do? Or like a birthday clown. You're the birthday clown.
Yeah. Birthday clown. I'm the juggler. I'm the jester.
I'm asking because, you know, people know us as Offspring Podcast. They don't necessarily know Black Ball, but I want to have him on to be our guy.
And he's so integral to your guys' whole like story. Like, yeah.
But we're getting some negative comments.
Really? Where's the haters? Where's the haters?
I don't know.
I actually think it's my relatives.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about, like, okay, my experience of like, he's an acquired taste in the sense that I'd say for some people, like, your whole thing is like, what's very funny about you is that you, I think you have that kind of Tourette's kind of mind where you kind of, whatever's going on, you can't help the, like, what's the worst possible thing that you could think of or say at that moment or do is kind of percolating in the front, and you either kind of pulling it back or like whatever. And so, but it's done. There's like a savant energy to it. Like, it's where it's like, oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. That's so fucked up. That's kind of, you know, like yeah. I would, you know, and it's that kind of like, you know, Captain Chaos kind of like part of like where, you know, I'd be fascinated to like see like your cribs of like how you organize your dresser or something like that. It would probably be surprising if it was clean or messy. It'd be fascinating to go, how does that arrive, knowing you as a person? So I'm saying, whoever doesn't like him, I'm saying dig a little deeper. Open your minds, dumbasses.
Absolutely. Because he's really loud at the beginning and brash. That's how we felt about him. He was screaming at us to play a certain Black Ball.
And that takes you on a journey where you go, do I like this guy?
Yeah.
And you go, I do like him because everyone's going through this. Yeah, they're wondering if they like him.
Once
I know
we got to know him, we love this guy.
And then I kind of thought, well, maybe not everyone's supposed to like him. Maybe that's part of what's good about
a proper court gesture.
He's our lightning rod, right?
A proper court gesture has that exact duty.
Got to be on that line.
Because they're the only one to go up to the king and say, hey, that's a fucking stupid idea. You know, they're the only one that has the carte blanche to do that. Kind of be like this kind of like drunken reality fucking checker, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So, which is that drunken reality checker? That's your occupation.
I like that title. I'm going to add that to my resume.
All right.
Most of the stuff that I saw is people like, they don't get you at first, but then once they come around, they go, oh, you know what? Black Ball's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're bringing people around.
And there you go.
And it's weaved into the whole kind of, Offspring genome
history
to
the band.
Level that's, or the the whole lore.
One of his first tattoos, do you have it, the Chinese character?
Right here on my arm. Like, I wanted to get Chinese writing on my, like, a tattoo, and
as one does,
I didn't know what I wanted, so I went to the library to get to go through a dictionary. This was one of the very first things I looked at. And it says Kaiju Budai. I'm probably saying it wrong, but it means funny but annoying. And it also means that, like, the second meaning was, you don't know if you want to laugh or cry when I'm around.
Okay, no, like, no, that's what the whole time I was trying to say.
Perfect,
that's exactly
right?
No, that's the
okay, that sums him up.
Oh yeah. No, that's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a self awareness too that I find very refreshing, because most people, even if they are self aware, don't want to be themselves anyway. So they're like they're just kind of
I've had no choice but to embrace it. You know,
exactly. Like, see, and that's that resignation of like saying, fuck it, we're here.
Fuck it, let's do it.
All right. Funny, so I guess we'll keep him for a while.
I'm giving a strong thumbs up on this.
It's the end of the first season. We're going
to
reevaluate. We'll see if you make it, if you come back
if
for the
come
second
back
season.
The sidekick chair or not, to replace me.
It might be Joe Scalani, right?
Funny but annoying to you.
He also fits that bill. Yeah.
Oh man, there's so many things to talk. Like I forgot you worked on Team America, and I forgot about, I don't know, Boingo and stuff. But
Tenacious D too.
That was the other thing I was going to say. School of Rock, a classic movie.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You were involved in that. Somehow.
Yeah,
you wrote a song.
I wrote a couple songs for that, with Jack Black and Mike White, who wrote the. And it was that was just amazing, because that was, I got to go. The coolest part of all that was, when they were filming it in Brooklyn, I got to go be a consultant for Jack. First of all, Jack's gnarly, obviously very talented actor and singer, and also plays guitar quite well. And so I was there to be his basically guitar consultant for technical consulting or whatever, which is like, so I get to watch him, like the whole opening scene of the movie, he's playing with the band, and I watch it and be like, that was fucking funny. Basically, all I do, I like the part because you're playing guitar and you went in front of the singer, because singers don't like when people go in front of them. So, and
right.
You know, that kind of shit.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So like, and play video games in between takes, and spend was out there for like 10 days or something like that. It was really cool. And Richard, what, Linklater? Say his name right? Famous director, the guy that did
Linklater.
No, the guy that did Slacker and all that kind of all those movies and all these other I'm not the cinephile I hope to be, but yeah, he's gnarly, and it was just amazing. And writing the songs too, because it's like, you know, they hand you a script and like, oh well, band plays nightclub and plays kind of this, you know, like, and I love those kind of creative things where there's someone says, hey, you know what, Dexter or Mills, write me a song, and you're like, that's the most vague, the more specific it is, and then that weird way, that ironic thing of like, the more it narrows it down, the parameters, the easier it is to do. You're like, oh, okay,
sure.
Well, it's not going to be a ballad. It's not going to be this. And kind of that weird, and so obviously in a script where there's three sentences describing the song, but with rather specific context, you're like, oh, that probably sounds like this. And it's kind of like the soundtrack of our lives or whatever.
And then something like that, but more whimsical.
Well, fortunately, whimsical. George Jaculius was the music supervisor, and he did Team America. I think he did Barbie, too. It's like,
oh, wow.
He's a big wig in the industry. And so, and he's like this amazing character. He's just very East Coast. The Beastie Boys reference him in a song. Like, you know, he's very old school kind of rock and roll, hip hop history, but he's just like, yeah, fuck yeah, that's it. He's the guy. He's the buck stops with him. You're the music expert, so he has that kind of cred. Like, oh, that it's going to be that. Yeah, I'm like, okay, right. Cool. George said,
cool.
Wow, that's good. Yeah,
yeah.
So you're saying make it as specific as possible, but you also said band plays nightclub. That sounds very vague. Very
wide. And the fact that basically, and it's funny, this is why I love reading scripts, like a movie script, and then seeing the movie, like if you have the opportunity, if it's a movie, like if it's available, like how you picture it and how it comes out, like that gap between. So like, and I do write scripts, so like that kind of like seeing what the descriptive of just that first page setting, it kind of painted such a rather specific picture to my mind of exactly what was going on, and kind of knowing the whole story and, you know, knowing who wrote it and so on and so forth. It was specific enough that I go, oh, it probably sounds like this. It kind of narrowed it down. It's not going to sound just like Motley Crue. It's not going to sound just like this. It's going to sound like what kind of sounds like at that point, maybe in the year 2002, what would sound a little bit tired, but maybe not so cliche that it's actually kitsch. So and to go, oh, it's kind of like Creed or whatever. So.
oh, now I get it. Sure, yeah.
It makes sense now. You got to put it in Creed terms.
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been really cool.
Awesome. That's so cool. The film stuff is, I this kind of shit, the art, whatever you do primarily, this is my theory about pretty much everyone, whatever you do primarily, what anyone else does is somehow exotic. Like, I have a lot of friends who are comedians, and they're like, oh, it's so great, rock and roll, and all that. And I'm like, Mom, do you go up and fucking make people laugh? It's gnarly. Like, just you know, like, but grass is greener. And so in that same way, like, doing this, you know, you guys do, that's why I love, punk rock paintbrush thing. It's just, it's the same energy, it's just in a different format. It's just how fucking, somehow a McNugget tastes like a fucking french fry in the same way at McDonald's. Like, it's the same shit, they just reformatted it. express it in the format of french fry. What would that be like,
I'm speechless again. I don't know.
See, I'm not the only one, Dax. I am not the only one.
I cannot run with that any further than that already.
So annoying.
Well, Taco Bell does it. All their shit, perfect it's the example. Same. It's like seven and ingredients they put
all
in the different.
The same.
And that's periodic table does it. Yes.
The neutrons.
All
and the
things that could be
the...
are put on that one little thing, and you go, here's your ingredients. Make something. Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I like the science reference.
I think
that's
I
good.
Prefer the Taco Bell, because I definitely, that's like, that's, yeah, and there's like a Taco Bell thing. Or like you leave Taco Bell in your car, it doesn't matter what you order, it's going to have that same smell the next day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It does stink up your car, doesn't it?
There's a certain kind of like, aroma essence. Yeah, I guess, or something.
Effervescence?
Like that. Aroma, stink essence? Stink essence. Yeah.
Certain essence.
Yeah, certain essence of a necessary essence.
Oh man! Well, what's next? What's new? What do you got? What do you got cooking? What can we plug?
I actually do have something to plug. This is funny because actually, the 1 year anniversary to the Punk Rock Museum, by the way, which is gnarly. If you guys haven't seen it, have you been there?
Oh, we've been there. Yeah. We're gonna do a takeover there in April. I'm going to do some tours. I haven't done any tours yet. I'm going to do some tours. Like,
dude, the tours are so rad. It's good. Like, I've done like, yeah. I did.
Have you done some?
I did like 20. I've gone back like twice.
I know Joe's done. We saw Joe actually.
He would be a good one.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. It's such a trip going because we're.
I might hit you up for some advice then on how to do a tour.
So. You can't keep
I don't
up
think,
with this.
I think you, it's kind of like.
Give up.
Just if you being you and walking through it, because it's kind of like in a weird way. This is the beautiful thing about the Punk Rock Museum, in my opinion, is that it feels like if someone made like a scrapbook of your whole life and put it in a fucking IKEA. Like, it's just like, and you had to walk through it. And it's or like when John Malkovich goes in his own head in the movie Being John Malkovich, it just has this kind of like, you're all, and you were there too. Yeah, you were there. Like, the fact it goes chronologically, how you walk through it, like, I was 13 when this, the first, that's the ticket. That's the first concert I went to, like that kind of shit. And it's very easy to kind of be, you know, I think it's awesome, but the Vandals are playing the 1 year anniversary on the first there, and I'm doing 2 days of tours leading up to that, the Friday and Saturday before that.
The first of what?
April 1st.
April 1st.
Or whatever the Sunday is that Sunday. So the 1 year and
so I'm right 2 weeks after
we're
that.
Right, yeah, we're
yeah,
after
yeah,
it.
Yeah, cool.
And then also
a week
in
and a half after that, yeah.
I'm doing my first one of my the Beach Festival, the Beach Life Festival, what's it called? Festival, Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
I'm such a terrible plugging shit. I can't remember the name.
I think it's Beach Life, the Beach Life Festival.
I'm performing myself. I'm performing unaccompanied and self-accompanied on the acoustic stage May 3rd at the Redondo Beach Life Festival with a headliner, Gordon Sumner.
It'll be very uncomfortable for you, I'm sure.
Oh, come down and get awkward with me. You know what?
Yeah. Most exciting way.
Exactly. I can't even hide behind the volume of a guitar. It's just, this is like, yeah.
Acoustic, yeah.
That's right. Coming down just like, it's going to be cringe-tastic.
Well, I went to your Christmas show, the Vandals Christmas show.
Oh, yeah.
I guess not this last December, but December before. And you came out and did acoustic sort of towards the end. And I'd seen you do some stuff, you know, they give you a moment in the spotlight, which is great. They should, right? It's warranted. But you went on for a while, and it was great. It was really good. Yeah. It was like, I want to say you did like 5 or 6 songs. I mean, it went on.
I've done, Well, it's funny because like, basically it's funny. It's so dumb. It comes down to like, it's like a 13-year-old, like I bought acoustic guitar. So I'm like, oh, like maybe I can sing and play it. It's like that was part of the thing where I'm like, and that's why people in like, and it, that's high praise. And I just like, it's one of those things where I go, I haven't really done this. The first time I did it was ever by myself. I could go and play songs I wrote. You know, was the book thing out? They had a thing, and I was like, I go, it sounds like such a horrible idea and scary that fucking I have to. I can't not say yes.
Right.
So
wow.
So now here it is, doing a victory lap at Beachfest lifestyle.
That's awesome. That's Jim Lindbergh's baby, right?
Jim Sink, exactly. And yeah. And it's.
Oh, so is it all acoustic?
There's like multiple stages, but it's going to be it's like me that weekend. It's like. Who else is it? It's like, I want to say like Tim Armstrong did it last year or something like that. Like basically that kind of like.
So I know Jim's been doing his acoustic thing as well. It's pretty good. His record is pretty good. I like it a lot.
I haven't heard, but like he's got we just got compelling energy. Like where you like you go, he's just a perfect weirdo. Yeah. Where you go, what's going on here? I'm like this fat, like, okay, wow. Yeah. He's rad. Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
It's a little bit Ohana vibe, isn't it, kind of?
I don't know. It's a new thing, right?
What's Ohana?
The beach life? Ohana is the one they do in Dana Point. Like, Eddie Vedder's thing, right?
It seems, I haven't been to it, but I'm getting that vibe.
A little bit eclectic, it's, beach.
Well, my YouTube, like the, my, what do you call it? The curated commercial ad thing. It's just like, it comes up nonstop. It's like, they've nailed me as a lifestyle. They're like, beach fest, da da da, coming up. And they're like, we're on stand up paddle boards and we've got credit cards and we're adults. And it's going to be awesome. Come on down, bring kids, whatever.
We're
party adults. You know? Lifestyle adults.
Yeah. Cool adults. Yeah.
And what about the Vandals? Anything coming up?
The Vandals are also, we're also doing, we have. Not locally, so we're doing Cow Palace in on the day after that of Beach Fest. That is
Punk
May
bar,
4th. And then we're also, this is the thing I'm actually really excited about. April 6th, we are playing Punk at the Park or whatever it is, the NoFX final tour thing with them in Fort Worth. And then 2 days afterwards, and this is one thing actually I would like to share with everyone. 2 days afterwards is the total solar eclipse. In Texas.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm planning on driving out to Fort Worth so I can basically follow the totality and figure out.
Oh,
I went when there was one in, what was it, 2017, about five years ago. And if you haven't ever seen the totality of it, have you guys ever seen like the full, like where it actually is, like you're in that thing? And
I don't think so. No.
Okay. If you've seen the 99% one, it's still not like it is the most fucking. We talk about a lot of bonker shit tonight. This is like where, like, it's like this moon goes over the sun exactly,
exactly
lines
right.
up perfectly, yeah. And then it does this little sparkle. Sorry, I lost my headphones. It's, like, seriously, I knew, like, my dad, you know, worked for NASA or whatever that kind of shit, so I'm very familiar with you know, the
geometry.
Mechanics of, of, you know, solar, and you know everything's a sphere and this and that, but then you see it, and you see the fucking thing, and they're the same exact size. It's a coincidence that the one's fucking 400 times larger and it's 400 times further, and it lines up perfectly, and for 2.5 minutes, I drove 16 hours to fucking Jackson Hole, because there was one place where I knew the weather, got there and stood there, and it was like, and... It gets dark. The temperature dropped 15 degrees. Your mouth goes dry. I couldn't stop laughing. I'm like, I can't fucking believe it. I mean, and I understand, you know, intellectually since I was a kid, but I'm like, I can't believe a fucking. Go and see it if you can.
Can I tag along with you?
Sure.
You guys,
I'm gonna tag along with Dexter.
Go and like I'm telling you, it's like 2 minutes and 30 of totality. I mean, you take off you're staring at the it's getting smaller with the glasses the whole time. Once it's totality, you take those glasses off. It's fine. You're just seeing the corona, and it is the sharpest contrast between light and dark you ever see in your life. It's a pitch black dime sized fucking thing from arm's length, and the brightest fucking sun. It's crazy. So you get the Tetons here too. When I Jackson Hole backlit wow. mountains all the way around because the sun's warmer outside. Yeah. It's purple. There's bugs. The lights go on. It's fucking cats and dogs fucking each other. It's crazy.
Never heard of an eclipse like that.
Yeah.
April 8th, people.
April 8th. It's been on my list forever. It's tough. We travel a lot,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
and then.
Yeah.
Even if you are around, it can be anywhere in the world. So, like, you got to go to Thailand to see it or whatever.
Oh, yeah,
so
no, it's in the ocean always, yeah.
It hasn't worked out. But, you know, there was the annular one recently that was went across Nevada, and we were in Reno. So, and I had flown, so I'm like, you know, I'm going to chase this thing. You know,
that's tornado chaser, right? Yeah,
so... Because you always want to show up somewhere where it's not overcast, of course. Right?
Yeah, I drove the night before, the day before to Salt Lake, so I could go in any direction, like whichever was the clearest weather. Right. So
So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Kerrville and then check the weather and then see where.
Oh, you got airplanes. That's right. It's even better.
Yeah. So me come along with us.
Oh fuck yeah! I'd love to. And it's one of those things like.
We should make that happen, dude.
It's difficult to go like, no, this, I'm serious. Like, this is a big, because everything's a fucking ad. Everyone's pitching you this. Oh, so great. So what? It's the best movie ever. Blah, blah, blah. This is a fucking life changer. There is nothing. It is the weirdest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen some fucking weird shit. This was like, no. And if you're like a caveman, you'd understand what the fuck. You'd be like, no way.
You have seen some weird shit. I can only imagine the weird shit you've seen.
It wins.
I've seen your paintings.
Hands down. Hands down. Total eclipse.
I was going to say, just the annular, that means when it doesn't quite cover the sun all the way, it's a big crescent or whatever. It was still incredible. Life-changing.
And so when that totality hits, because it's called what's called, it's like Dean's Beans or something. Like that. Basically, it's you get this little, or the pearls, basically, is that it's this last little bit before you hit the totality.
Yeah.
And so you it's the mountainscape. You get the little sparkle of the mountainscape as it goes over.
Yeah,
that's the indicator where it's leaving again, too. Fucking dude. Oh, my God. Like, once that moment happens, they're like, and you can't believe it. The sun, something we see every fucking day, all day long, our entire lives. And that's going on. You can't, like, it'd be like if you could float for, you know, or you just levitate. It's that, if everyone could levitate. It's so weird.
Look how excited he is about this. This is great.
Very passionate. I have never been that passionate about anything.
Dude.
I think if you ever watch an eclipse with somebody, you want to watch it with Warren Fitzgerald. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, if you see it, like, you would have to be a fucking sociopath not to fucking be bonkers. And believe me, I'm not like, oh, and I love my magic, you know, mood ring and all this other. There's nothing foo-foo about it. This is hardcore. Right, that's the sun got covered up by the moon. What the fuck is going on?
It's a real shit. Whenever there's an eclipse, it can last for different amounts of time, depending on all the blah, 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 the geometry. Right. But this one is kind of on the long side, right?
It's on the long side.
Almost 5 minutes or something?
The highest totality I found, where it's pure totality, I think the place I'm aiming for in Texas was, it was 239. I think it got up in 239.
Okay.
Which is, because it's that, I think that there might be, where it's pure totality. And it depends on where I think you are. That might be the city, because it is, if you're the closer you are to the center of the center part, you get a little more, I think.
Right, yeah.
And or the umbrella, and all that shit. But I think the one I saw at Jackson Hole was, I think it was like 215, but it feels like a lifetime.
Does it?
Wow. You take acid, mushrooms, fucking whatever the fuck. Oh, ha ha ha! Fucking see the sun, bug. You know, nothing wins.
You heard it here, Warren. Go out there. Yeah.
We definitely have to play this episode before.
Get out there, kids, and watch that eclipse. That. It's gonna be great. Warren, thank you so much for coming down today.
I love that you guys did this. Congratulations on 10.
10, yes. You made it to 10,
The boys all grown up.
I made it to 10.
You made it to 10.
There was no doubt they were going to make it to 10.
Yes, Blackball.
On the other hand.
Still here.
And all of you listening to this, please leave some love for Blackball in the comments below.
Yes, we love him.
Yes. Thanks, dude. That was great.
Thank you so much, guys. Good luck in South America.
Thank you.
It's going to be sketchy. Right.